So we have been hearing that benefit fraud in Northern Ireland amounts to £29 million per year. But should you, as a member of the public, take more responsibility and actively report people? Maybe you have done this in the past. Maybe someone that you suspect is claiming job seekers and working at the same time or something like that, and they're wrongly in receipt of benefits. 0-30-30-80-55-55. Businessman Erwin Armstrong and commentator Malachy O'Doherty join me. Good morning to you both.
Morning, Vinnie. Morning, Erwin.
Malachy, what do you reckon?
Well, I mean, I reckon that I would rather see the energies and efforts being put into catching tax frauds than benefit frauds. I mean, we're getting really exceptional cases told to us here of somebody claiming £100,000. I mean, I don't even know how that's possible, but I mean, we'll have to take the word of the guy who says it. I just think that there's something fundamentally indecent about a stakeout on a woman to find out if she's limping or not. Yes, she shouldn't be claiming disability benefit if she isn't entitled to it. And yes, the benefits people have sent out this warning to us all now this morning, I suppose, that we can be spied on. Just a reminder that we live in a kind of state that is not only parsimonious in the benefit it pays, but is rigorous in the policing.
But surely, Malachy, fraud is fraud, and you're right what you say. They have the powers if they need to. They can obviously look at your Facebook, and they do through social media to see what you're up to. They also will look and can ask to see your bank statements. They can contact your boss and ask for payroll details more. So they have quite a lot of powers to look into your life and see what you're up to.
And there's two approaches to this. One is the good citizen approach, and obviously we're all good as citizens, and we want the system to work well, and we don't want to be defrauded. But, I mean, you put it well yourself, do we really, how many of us are really inclined to spy on our neighbours? How many of us are really inclined, if we're in a situation now, for instance, with the universal credit coming down, where people are having to wait 6 weeks for benefits that have already been reduced, people like that are put under enormous pressure to find resources from elsewhere. And am I going to be the one who's going to make life harder for them by keeping a close eye on them to see if they're actually doing a night's work in a local pub or something to top that up? I am not going to be the one who's going to make life more difficult for somebody in that situation.
Well, Erwin, that's a fair point in terms of if you do this, you're seen as almost snitching, and you will be making someone's life more difficult. And I say that knowing that there is a range of people that do commit benefit fraud in terms of to what extent they do. So you've got that £102,000 person, and then at the other end you've probably someone with a much smaller amount of money.
Vinny, I think we have come to a stage in Northern Ireland where there's an attitude around that says, sure, it's only the government's money. But it's not the government's money. It's the taxpayers' money. It could be used for other things. So if there's benefit fraud, that means that it could be an operation. It could be somebody who hasn't had their health reviewed in the way it should be. It could be the school kids without books. It could be a wide range of things. And I think it's interesting that the main defence that Malachy has is whataboutery. We're talking about fraud, and he's talking about people not paying their taxes. They're both wrong. One doesn't excuse the other. So as far as I'm concerned, if somebody is taking money that could be better spent on somebody who really needs it, then, we talk a lot today about people's entitlement and what they're entitled to. We don't really talk enough about responsibilities and what we have a responsibility to do. If somebody is out there taking money that could be better used for something else,
but is that, I understand what you're saying there, Erwin, but is that, as a member of the public, their responsibility? Or is that, as we heard Conrad, him and his team, that's their responsibility to find them?
No, we all have responsibilities. If you want to have your entitlement.
But as a result of you doing that, you're going to make someone better off. Do you think, not better off, worse off, sorry, Erwin, do you think, being honest, that the majority of people who are claiming benefits they're not entitled to are living it up? They are really living some kind of high-class luxury lifestyle? Or do you believe that the majority of them are just trying to make ends meet?
It doesn't really matter is the problem. we have laws in the country. You know, it's not good enough if you're doing 50 miles an hour and a 30 mile an hour speed limit to say, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. Laws matter.
I mean, you're right, Erwin. Laws do matter, and one wants to be a good citizen. And, I mean, I pay my taxes and whatever. And I would be appalled if somebody that I knew was either defrauding their taxes or defrauding benefit to the kind of extent that seems barely possible. But, I would not encourage that. But my responsibility as a citizen goes further than just simply to snoop on my neighbours and find out how they're shortchanging the government. My responsibility as a citizen extends to talking to the government and saying, look, you know, you have a responsibility to look after the poor in this society. You have a responsibility to run a health service that actually functions and isn't being progressively run down in front of our eyes. You have a responsibility. So I will listen to the person whose sense of responsibility as a citizen cuts both ways, you know,
to have it both ways yourself here, Malachy, to be honest. Either the law is the law, the rules are the rules. And if you are letting someone commit fraud there, then why would you make...
I'm not letting them, but
you'll be aware as a member of the public that if you were, let's say it is your neighbour, for example, not your neighbour, but if it's your neighbour you're talking about and you know what they're doing and you know they're claiming and they should not be, you're letting that happen, surely, if you then don't report that.
The only cases I can think of in my own personal experience that resonate in any way with this are not... people who are defrauding huge amounts of disability benefit, and they're not cases of people who are getting £100,000 a year out of the dole, however that is remotely possible. They are people who are cutting it fine, who are living on the edge, whose benefits aren't enough to scrape from one end of the week to the other, and who might be doing the odd night's work in a bar or something.
Have you ever done that yourself, Malachy? Have you ever done that yourself?
I have done it. I was actually caught doing the double. It goes back 30 years ago.
Right.
But I'll tell you the story and I'll give you some idea. I was unemployed. I had been unemployed for some time. I was picking up some threads of work in freelance journalism with the Irish News. And essentially, I was signing on the dole. Now, the money that I was getting from the Irish News was like peanuts, £20 for an article, £12 for a...
Was your name on the articles?
Any time my name was in the article, I declared it to the dole. And if my name wasn't in the article, and I was using a pseudonym for some articles, then I didn't declare it.
And is that when you got caught?
And that's how I got caught. If I'd been totally criminal-minded about it and not used my name at all or declared anything, I'd have got away with it probably. But anyway, I declared some. And then, of course, they went into the Irish News and they opened the books, and the Irish News were perfectly obliging and told them everything that they'd paid me. And I was summoned to a meeting and interviewed under caution by, I think it was two or three people in an office in the Dole in Corporation Street, which has been demolished now. And basically, I had to pay back some money. Now, then I went away and I thought about it. And I said, look, the way this works with me was I was poor. I was unemployed. I was trying to pick up the threads of a career in journalism. And I was getting snatches of work that were very, very measly paid.
And you were trying to make ends meet, and I am not trying to make it say it's okay what you did do.
So I sat down and I wrote a letter to the Dole after I got this bill from them. And I says, look, here am I. And this is what the phrasing I actually used in Thatcher's Britain, trying to pull myself up by the bootstraps, and you're just making it difficult for me. And they wrote back, and it was very interesting what they wrote back. They sent me a wee form to fill in, saying, I undertake to repay the sum of...
How much was it?
I think it was about £80, but that was a lot more 30 years ago than it is now.
Erwin, do you see the point that Malachy's trying to make?
Let me just complete
it. Sorry, go ahead.
They said, I undertake to repay at the rate of blank per blank. So I could have written down a penny a year. You know, so in other words, they'd got my point, you know, that I was the wrong person to be hounding, because I was on the way towards getting myself off the dole and building up.
But surely you heard what Conrad said in that interview. They will take people's circumstances into account whenever they are caught or they are realised that they've been claiming more, something that they shouldn't have.
But your
cheeky response might not have led to them saying you can repay whatever way you want.
My cheeky response did lead to them saying I can pay whatever way I want.
Did they say that in the letter?
Well, yeah, they just left the things blank. I could have put down a pound a year. and they would have accepted that.
Erwin, do you get what Mullachy's saying in terms of he wasn't living some kind of high-class luxury lifestyle? He was genuinely struggling, and therefore he was just trying to make ends meet. Does that make any difference to you in your perception of this?
I can see absolutely what Mullachy's saying. The problem is Mullachy was taking a decision to benefit himself.
To pay his bills.
Yeah, no, but he was taking a decision to benefit himself and take money away from others.
Well, it was about making the transition from living on benefit to being self-employed, which is a very difficult transition to make.
No, I understand that, but you took a decision. Your transition was much more important than the money that could have been spent on something else.
Yeah, absolutely, but the dole would have ended up paying me a lot more over a lot more years if I hadn't done it my way.
Yeah, no, that's your perspective.
Money.
All I'm saying is that's a self-centered attitude.
Yeah, but it converted me from being a benefit recipient to being a taxpayer.
Yeah, but did it? You could have declared.
Yes, I mean, I basically became a self-employed journalist and sustained myself by that and paid tax for the next 30 years.
You could have paid the tax and still written the articles. That was your decision not to declare it.
That was the only way the thing could have been done.
Let's see what they think at home this morning. 030-30-80-55-55. Do you get where Mullachy is coming from? And on the other aspect of this, would you report someone, regardless of who they are, because they are committing benefit fraud? We all pay for it to an extent through your taxes. Brian in Lisburn, go ahead, Brian.
Good morning, Vinny. Thank God you finished that conversation. It was getting a bit long-winded. This is directed towards, is it Mervyn, the guy there?
No, Erwin. There's Erwin Armstrong and Mullachy O'Doherty. Mullachy's the one that was caught 30 years ago.
Erwin, I have Parkinson's, and through my illness, I fell down the stairs twice and was told to sell my house or kill myself. So 2 years ago, I sold it, bought a bungalow, and got it renovated to suit the needs because I know I'm going to get worse as I get older. Subsequently, I got a letter from yourselves wanting to who had been to my bank and got the bank statements and all. And I 100% agree. I don't agree with people calling people. That's 100% right. I was able to prove after a lot of investigations from you, I got a solicitor's letter showing me sold my house. I then got bank statements and...
You mean your TV licence?
No. For the house and buying the bungalow and doing the renovating the whole house up, I had to get to the bank. They had went to the bank and got what money I'd been taking in and out, paying workmen to do work on the house.
So you're sorry, I got confused there. You're talking about you got letters from the benefit fraud people?
Yes.
Right.
Right. I sent everything to them, which 100% agree, I had no problem doing it. I'm still waiting on them writing back and having the courtesy to say, thank you, you sent us that. I still don't know why I'm clear, not nearly a year later. I know you am clear because I've done nothing wrong. But they have never wrote back to me and said, you supplied us with this, you didn't supply us with it, or whatever.
How did you feel when you got those letters through the post?
Well, one of the things of Parkinson's is it causes paranoia. I knew it was innocent, but I was panicking. You know, what have I done wrong here? That's the honest truth of it. I would say, subsequently, I was able to prove everything I'd spent, I had got from the proceeds of my house and everything else. The other thing, very quickly, which is a sleepy thing, I'd like to ask him, there's 3,500 people looking into fraud from, you know, ordinary people. There's only 300 people looking at multinational fraud. And a week when eBay has announced out of $1.34 billion, they paid $1.6 million in tax, which is what, not 1%. Why is somebody not talking about that rather than what some local person
just to be clear, Erwin's not from the HMRC or benefit fraud, but Erwin, do you get his point in terms of when you see some of these big multinationals and the tax that they're paying, and then you have people chasing people that you have the benefit people chasing others that are maybe just trying to make ends meet, perhaps they're not well as well, and they just need that extra couple of pounds to pay their rent, to heat, to eat, whatever that might be?
You know, I think, Vinny, I'm not here to defend multinationals not paying their taxes. I think that's an absolute disgrace. And, you know, anything that can be done should be done. And I think we need a lot of changes in the laws, how that operates. The difficulty is multinational companies operating in 10, 20 different countries. It is an intractable problem that needs a very wide agreement on international tax deductions. You know, and obviously...
Yeah, but do you get the point in terms of double standards?
they're under the same standard. You need to stop both of them. One does not, as I think I said, Malik, earlier, one does not excuse the other. They are both wrong, and they are both taking money away that could be used properly for other things. I'm not defending in any way anybody who doesn't pay their taxes. I just think anything that is wrong, and one can never excuse the other.
Okay,
well, I think you're right, Erwin, and I mean, you're a respected international businessman yourself, but the, what the point that was being made there was about the level of resources being applied to the two problems. They're both wrong, but if the government is more concerned to hound the unemployed and people in benefits than it is to go after big business, then that isn't just a whataboutery issue. That's an issue of the balance of resources and the priorities of government. The problem here is that benefits are too low, and people need to cut corners to live off them. And we live in a culture where essentially we have a punitive attitude within the media towards people who are in benefit, but we also have a government attitude which, when it sees itself through economic storms which produce high unemployment, then starts lecturing the unemployed. This is what happened after the economic crisis, and the Tories came back. You suddenly, you know, from the whole problem having been created by the bankers and their gambling, you get the whole focus of Tory government attention on the unemployed as if they're not having a job is their fault. You know, we've got this moralistic attitude.
Yeah, well, let's let Erwin come back to that. Now, Erwin, of course, you used to be the chairman of the Northern Ireland Conservatives. What do you reckon?
I reckon a lot of what Maliki says has got a reasonable basis.
Do you agree with him?
No, I don't fully agree with him. I think there was a recession, and I think it has to be said that over the last 20 years that benefits have increased in a way that the country just cannot afford. You know, that's part of it.
But what's the reasoning behind that? There'll be some, Erwin, that will claim that's to do with the availability of jobs, people being stuck on benefits and not being able to, for example, afford childcare if they go to work. So what do you think is behind that?
Behind which?
In terms of the people that are claiming the amount of money that we are now spending and paying out in terms of benefits.
Well, I think, you know, it would take a few hours to go into the history of it. But the idea of supplementing people's income to bring them up to a living wage, I think was brought in probably, I think it was probably Labour government many years ago did that. And that was the wrong direction for us to go in. It should have not been take money and taxes from people and then use that money to give back to them in another form.
Okay, I want to bring another caller in at this point. John in Dungannon. John, good morning.
Morning, Denise.
What do you reckon? Would you consider shopping someone that you knew or maybe that you didn't know but you had suspicions of committing benefit fraud?
Well, the thing I'd like to say is, Vinny, how can anybody expect any member of the public to contact social services and tell them that one of their neighbours is receiving benefit and has a job somewhere when you've got our MLAs, who are the guys that are supposed to be leading us through our troubled waters, are getting 70 grand a year sitting doing nothing from January.
Well, I don't think they all get 70 grand, but I get your point that they're still being paid even though we don't have a government.
That's the working class way of perceiving these things, that you're hammering people who are just trying to make ends meet, and at the same time these guys that are sitting up with chauffeur-driven cars getting their meals and all, storming subsidies and stuff like that. What, you know, you can't have one rule for one and another for someone else.
But I guess, as Erwin said earlier, fraud is fraud, and they've got to tackle all types of it. And if they just said, well, let's just tackle high-end fraud where it's millions of pounds and leave the smaller ones, what message would that
send out to people? No. Don't leave the smaller ones, but you've got to show the smaller ones, look, the high-end is being dealt with.
Do you think they're dealing with... Yes, you don't think they are?
No, not a way, not a chance, Benny. You know that yourself. Like
Rob in North Belfast. Rob, what about you? Would you call up and tell people that you, or tell Benefit Fraud that you had suspicions on someone?
I don't think I would, Benny.
Why not?
I listen to Maliki, and I have to say, I very rarely agree with Maliki, but I found a respect for him this morning. He was very, very honest when you asked him a direct question in relation to his own personal circumstances. And you know, I listened to the hardships that he had to encounter and why he done it. And I suppose that's happening right across society because Maliki's very right. These benefits aren't proportionate to daily living. what we're seeing is the rollout of universal credit.
He still, Maliki still broke the law, though, Rob.
Well, the situation I was in was pretty...
I understand that, but going back to what Irwin said, the law is the law.
Well, what we've seen was the rollout of universal credit, which was successfully voted to be put on hold last night in the House of Commons, no thanks to the DUP, mind you. And what universal credit would have done here is it would have drove more and more people into food banks, more and more people into poverty, and more people, I suppose, having their arm twisted to have to commit crime because they're living below the poverty line.
Maliki, do you think that benefit fraud on whatever scale, let's just talk not necessarily £102,000, that case from the 2016, do you think it's seen differently than going into a shop and stealing something?
Oh, yeah, well,
it's more acceptable.
And to some extent, you know, on a pure kind of moral level, it's not different. But, I mean, my position is very much the position of the Zero Hours contract, which is now all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a very small, rare thing when I had arrangements like that with the Irish News and later with the BBC. But I mean, so that means that, you know, with the Zero Hours contract method of employment spreading out wider, there are far, far more people in the position that I was in, where you're having to juggle a wee bit of work with a bit of benefit. I don't know how you make that transition.
Let Rob back in there. He's another question for you.
Would you agree, and I'll put this to the other gentleman, I didn't catch
Irwin.
His name, Irwin, good morning. I put this to you. Would you agree if we actually start to pay people an honest living wage in the north, that what you will find actually is people going back into work, back into employment, and becoming contributory members of society, because we pay them pittance at this moment in time?
The answer to your question is obviously it would help society if wages were higher. However, unfortunately, in the case that we're in at the moment, there are a lot of pressures on business from a variety of different directions. And the point is that it's better to have a lot more jobs at a lower income, still a reasonable income, than it would be to have fewer jobs at a higher income.
We could spend an entire programme on this. Rob, thank you. John, we'll try and get a couple more callers in before the end of the programme. John, what do you reckon?
Tell you what it is. I've been listening very closely to it, and it is interesting. But I think you should do a show sometime. It'd be more interesting on the amount of money that the government have sitting there, literally billions of pounds, for people who are, you know, able to care for benefits that they're not aware of. The government aren't
upfront. Well, if you heard the programme before 10 o'clock, we did have a lady on who was explaining that there is a number you can ring and you can call that up and they'll look. And quite often people do get more money. There's stuff they're entitled to that they can then therefore claim for.
I understand, but they have to dig in. They have to really get stuck in to find out where that money is. You know,
well,
you've got people out there investigating people who are defrauding the system.
Well, listen, we'll give out that number again. The programme is called Make the Call, and the telephone number is 0800 232 1271. We've tweeted that out as well. That's Make the Call on 0800 232 1271. When you call them, they'll ask for your social your national insurance number, and they can check and see if you're entitled to more than you're getting. 0800 232 1271.